This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
My mother's wedding reception was held shortly after the war in a Methodist church hall. No strong drinks were allowed, only cups of tea were on offer, even for the toast. The majority of the gifts she opened were tea towels, as people couldn't afford anything more expensive then. But I remember her telling me that willing helpers from the church had somehow got the place names mixed up, and the guests who were the most important, you know, close family, the nearest and dearest, were at tables furthest away, and casual acquaintances had been given the most important places. Something similar happens in our gospel reading today, but in this case, people are actually seeking out the best and the most important positions for themselves. First of all, let's hear a lovely hymn about a banquet to which God has invited everyone. There are no favourites and all are equal. There's no class distinction, no colour bar, no discrimination whatsoever. It's Come to the Banquet by Faye White.
To the banquet, there's a place for you. Though you maybe have no money, though you maybe feel unworthy in your strength or in your weakness, you are welcome. Come
to the banquet, there's a place for you. See, you are an honored guest. From constant serving you may rest. So sit you down, be fed and blessed, for you are welcome. Come.
Come to the banquet, there's a place for you. Woman, wise one, mother, maiden, see your plate with food is laden, and your place is set and waiting. You are welcome. Come.
Banquet, there's a place for you. Here is one who runs to meet you, loving arms stretched out to greet you. Do not let your fear defeat you. You are welcome. Come.
Our gospel reading today is taken from Luke 14, verse 1 and 7 to 14. On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honour, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honour, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honoured in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus here was a guest at a meal in the house of a leading Pharisee, we're told in verse 1, and he was being very carefully watched by some of the guests because he'd been healing some people on the Sabbath. So what did he do, bearing in mind it was the Sabbath once again? He healed a man in front of their very eyes. This man had dropsy, and at the same time he put it to the people that if their son or an ox had fallen down a well, they would have pulled them out immediately. But it follows that they are also under his scrutiny, because Jesus sees how many of them are jockeying for position to get themselves sat in the most important seats. So Jesus seizes upon this matter as a lesson in humility. Here's one of my favourite songs at the moment, sung here by Hillsong, and it's called Lord, I Come to You.
Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed. Will you flow in all the ways that I found in you? Lord, I've come to know me will be swept away by the power of your love. Hold me close, there shall love surround me.
Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, humility is one of the pieces of clothing that Paul advises followers of Jesus to put on. He wrote, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Paul also recorded in his letter to the Philippians a hymn the early church sang about Jesus' humility. He introduced it by writing, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
Light of the world, you see. step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
That was a lovely hymn there called Light of the World, written by Tim Hughes and sung by Phillips, Craig and Dean. Jesus throughout his ministry on earth taught humility and displayed it obviously himself. Are we willing to walk humbly too? Jesus taught us, the greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Here's Tim McGraw with a beautiful folk song called Humble and Kind. He says there may be many things we do in life that we rightly feel proud of as human beings, but the one thing we must always remember is to always be humble and kind.
You know there's a light that glows by the front door. Don't forget the keys under the mat. When childhood stars shine, always stay humble and kind. Go to church 'cause your mama says to. Visit grandpa every chance that you can. It won't be wasted time. Always stay humble and kind. Hold the door, say please, say thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. When the dreams you're dreaming come to you, when the work you put in is realized, let yourself feel the pride, but always stay humble and kind. Don't expect a free ride from no one. Don't hold a grudge or a chip, and here's why. Bitterness keeps you from flying. Always stay humble and kind.
Not only does Jesus invite us to be humble if we're his followers, he also teaches we must never discriminate against others ourselves. A gospel reading today goes on to say in verse 12, he said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbours, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Do we have any airs and graces? Do we ever see ourselves being a cut above others? Are we desperate to associate with those of rank and some influence? Do we always expect preferential treatment, the best of what's on offer? And how do we treat those whose job it is to serve us, such as waitresses and shopkeepers and the like? Now there's the real test. In other words, do we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to? A comedian once joked, "If there's one thing I'm better at than everyone else, it's humility." Here's Mac Davis with a song called "Oh Lord, It's Hard to Be Humble."
Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. I used to have a girlfriend, but I guess she just couldn't compete with all of these love-starved women who keep clamoring at my feet. Well, I probably could find me another, but I guess they're all in awe of me. Who cares? I never get lonesome, 'cause I treasure my own company. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Can't wait to look in the mirror. Can't wait to look in the mirror.
Help me out now, come on.
I get better looking each day. To know me is to what? To know me is to love me.
Must be a hell of a man.
I must be a hell of a man.
Oh Lord, it's hard.
Lord, it's hard to be humble
when you're doing what?
We're doing the best that we can.
In the famous poem called Desiderata, made famous by Max Ehrmann, it says, "Go placidly amidst the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others. Even the dull and the ignorant, they too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter. For always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans." Rudyard Kipling, on the other hand, puts it this way, as if giving advice to his son, in a song called If.
If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tied by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to, broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings, and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men with you, but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you be a man, my son.
St. Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, verses 7 to 9, he says, "For we brought nothing into the world, so that we can take nothing out of it." This reminds me very much of a poem written by Linda Ellis called The Dash, which was based on the simple idea of how we view a tombstone, an obituary or death notice. We may note the year the person was born and the year they died, which really say nothing, when it's more about what's between those dates, the little dash, which represent the years of that person's life. How will we spend our dash? Here's the poem. "I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone, from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what matters most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that they spent alive on earth, and not only those who loved them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love, and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash?" Pastor Joanne Taylor, writing on the subject of humility, once said, "Jesus came to level the playing field between the haves and the have-nots. between the wealthy and the poor, between the healthy and the sick, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we must live lives that honour God. Instead of seeking glory for ourselves, we should spend our time and energy giving glory to God. So, let's not be proud. May we always see others through the eyes of Jesus, so says our final song. Help me see with your eyes. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for this morning. It's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill, and from Andrew here, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Have a good week, everyone. Bye for now.
Help me see with your eyes. Show me how to care. Help me love with your heart when it seems I've got none to share. And enter into my speaking. Let your loveliness flow from the center of my being. Let your love grow. Help me look with your eyes. Understand the pain. Then I won't fear the hurricane. I will only feel the rain. Come enter into my thinking. Let your loveliness flow from the center of my being. Let your love grow.